Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I'm Lon Tay. He's Jeremy Warner. It's 4:34, July 21st, by the way, 7/21/2011.
And it's 100 degrees out.
And it's 100 degrees out. And it's hot up north, and that's where Megan Montemurro is from the Northwest Herald. You can read her stuff at nwherald.com. How are you today, Megan?
I'm pretty good. How about you guys?
Good. Before we get going on baseball, can I have you, I just want you to listen to Jeremy's running backs.
No, come on.
No. I want Megan to rip on you, too. And understand, Megan, that I'm backing my buddy because he got into this league, and it's the first time he's ever done an auction league, and he wasn't given any players. So he's totally against the eight ball. But keep in mind, it's a pass-happy league. Like, you get
it's a lot of points. PPR league,
right.
Points per reception.
So now, read off your...
And I wanted Matt Forte and Steven Jackson, but they went for, like, $48.
Read off your running backs.
Michael Turner.
Okay. It gets you five, ten.
Felix Jones, Fred Jackson, Thomas Jones, and Tim Hightower.
Megan... Yeah.
You're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Hey, I got Matt Schaub and Reggie Wayne.
That is good though, Matt Schaub.
Yeah, those two will help you a little bit, but yeah, otherwise.
Yeah, okay.
I just wanted to hear Megan get on you a little bit.
Thanks for getting on me, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Well, Megan, we have you on obviously to talk baseball. You cover the White Sox and the Cubs, and one thing that we talked a lot in the first hour was about how Mike Quatty just kind of went off on Starlin and Barney in the middle of that after dropping a first inning fly ball, and what Jeremy is saying, basically, guys, it's a 9-1 game. Why do you get on them? I went with more of the,
Well, you say your piece. I say I don't know what Quatty gets out of that. Okay. I don't know why he's saying that to the media. I get that he talked to the players afterwards.
Right.
I just don't know why after a 9-1 loss he goes after these guys. Is he trying to go hardcore? I'm Mike Quatty. I'm going to be hardcore now on these players before I was doing buddy-buddy. That was my take.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then what I said, Megan, was that I think he's just tired of things and he's over the deep end now and he looks out and says, look, if we're messing up in the first inning, where's the focus? That's kind of where I'm going. What did you get out of Mike Quatty's tirade?
Well, first of all, it was really surprising because we were waiting in the interview room, and usually Quatty comes in first, but Dempster came in and talked to us first because he had this foundation thing to go to, and after he left, we were waiting at least probably a good 10 to 15 minutes for Quatty to come back in to talk to us, and the whole setup was weird. I mean, someone just asked a very, generic kind of leading statement about, Dempster throwing too many pitches in the heat and stuff like that. And as soon as that came out, he pretty much was like, Demp didn't throw that bad. And then he went right to the missed pop-up and he said, I look back at the whole game and look at that play. And it was very weird because no one had brought it up, and he kept coming back to it and focusing in on it and, referred to how he met with Castro and Barney after the game to talk about it. It was just very weird and pretty surprising that that's what he focused on when the offense, scores one run. And they gave up multiple runs after that first inning anyway. So it was very weird.
Yeah, Megan, I read your story on nwherald.com, and I know Darwin Barney was – said the right things afterwards. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, I feel the same way. We should have made that play. But why bring that up?
Yeah.
I mean, why stick to that and
he's
talk about
frustrated.
It for 4 minutes? I just don't know. Those guys have been so key to just what your future is going to be if you are the future Cubs manager. I just don't know why he settled on that. I know you can't read minds, but what do you think was his purpose for that?
I mean, the weird thing was, too, is someone asked Quatty, like, what else was Barney supposed to do?
Right.
Because, I mean, in that situation, he did everything he was supposed to. He backed up off the play once, Castro called for it. And the fact is regardless of it's a 21-year-old, two-year player in the league or a veteran, I've seen that play happen at least twice from opposing teams at Wrigley. So, I mean, it's not like, obviously, it's not something you want to happen, but it happens. And the funny thing is it wasn't even ruled an error. It was a hit. and, for the fact of him calling him out, it's just very weird, especially a guy like Barney, who usually is the first one there and the last one to leave. He's one of the hardest workers on the team. He was one of the last people in the clubhouse having gone and lifted weights or, took some extra BP after the game. So So to call out the two of them, who really, they have their defensive shortcomings, obviously, but I don't really think you can question either of their effort this season. And offensively, they're two average-wise, at least, two of their better hitters. So it was very weird. And, you know, Varney also said about how it's not a surprise that, you know, he blew up and that I'm sure it was building, but to call out those guys and not some of the other players for some of the things that have happened, it's very mind-boggling and hard to understand, really.
We're listening to Megan Matsumero. She's from the Northwest Herald. You can read her stuff at nwherald.com. Megan, the Cubs are 39-60. Not that you need to be reminded of that.
Yeah.
You're around a lot of the media types there in Chicago. What is everybody saying at this point? I mean, is it just now a grind to cover this team the rest of the year?
Well, after the incident yesterday, pretty much everyone retreated into the cafeteria for the air conditioning. But basically, everyone was just kind of saying, like, what was Quadi thinking to do this at this point in the season? Like, obviously, you know, tensions are mounting. He's obviously not pleased. It was the 9th straight game with an error, not counting that. Carlos Pena had 2 errors on 1 play later in the game. But, I mean, honestly, there's not much really going for the team, especially, I mean, when you look at the team, one of the few couple players to really, you know, fun to watch are Castro and Varney. And, you know, of course, Aramis and Pena, when they're hitting, you know, it's fun to watch. But, I mean, the pitching has been absolutely brutal. Even when they do get a good start, like out of Garza the other day, the bullpen can't hold it down, even when it's Sean Marshall, arguably one of their better relievers. So, you know, it's really hard to find optimism. And it'll be interesting to see if anything happens as the trade deadline is about 10 days away. So I guess maybe you can hope that some fresh faces come in and you can get some different change of the atmosphere. But, I mean, it's really hard to find something positive out of this right now.
Megan, you cover the Cubs, you know, most of the season as well as the White Sox. But what's your impression of what the players think of Mike Quadi? You know, we saw the Ryan Dempster blow up, and he seemed to be buddy-buddy with him, and now he's kind of calling out his players. What's kind of the players' reaction to Mike Quadi as a manager so far that you've kind of gotten?
Well, it's going to be interesting. Since most of the players were gone for Ryan Dempster's charity foundation event last night, no one was really in the locker room to talk after, you know, to comment on Quadi's, you know, words after the game. So it'll be interesting to see what players have to say tomorrow, because I guarantee I'm not going to be the only one that's going to be looking for, see what some of the veteran guys have to say about that. But I mean, for the most part, they've been loose. I mean, as you've heard, you know, Ramirez doesn't want to leave, isn't planning right now to waive his no trade clause. Soriano said the other day that he loves it in Chicago and he doesn't want to leave. And, you know, as of when Pena last addressed the issues, you know, he said that he wants to finish the season as a Cub. So, I mean, when you have that, they enjoy playing here. But you have to wonder how much of that is because they have a manager that really doesn't have much power over them, and there's no real expectations right now. So it's going to be really interesting to see kind of what the reaction is in the clubhouse from Quadi's comments. And even when Barney was talking, you can tell he was giving the company a line, but he clearly wasn't happy that he got called out like that.
Talking with Megan Matsumero from the Northwest Herald. She covers both the Cubs and White Sox. And sadly, Megan, on the south side of town, it's not much better. I know the manager maybe not getting as much negative feedback, because what can you do with these players? These White Sox just seem to keep losing games, and last night on a wild pitch. And we heard Ozzie go off after this game, and he's playing with Kenny Williams players, and there always seemed to be Ozzie wanted the small ball kind of team, kind of more of the National League team, and now it's back to this home run hitting team, and they're dependent on it, and Adam Dunn and Rios, of course, we know their struggles. Is there growing tension there? It always seemed to be tension, but it seems like there's even more tension growing between the general manager and the manager.
I definitely would say so. I mean, he repeatedly, you know, talks about how much he loves, you know, Juan Pierre, and he could have 25 of them on his team and he'd be happy. But clearly, you know, he's trying to appease his general manager. But I thought it was interesting that I read some of the comments from the reporters that are up there that were in Detroit for the past series, that, you know, he's going to start benching Dunmore if he doesn't start producing, which I think that's interesting, because that's a definite change from what he's been saying lately. But, you know, it's hard. He's in a no-win position because, you know, he's stuck with guys that have to play. I mean, you can't bench Rios and Dunn every game to your higher-play players. So, I mean, at some point, Kenny Williams is going to have to make a move because Ozzie's repeatedly said how, you know, if Vicieto is going to come up, then some counter move has to happen for him to play every day. So it'll be interesting, especially if they can't beat their own divisional opponents.
Megan, I read somewhere, too, about Adam Dunn and the fact that, you know, he's thought about quitting. I mean, it's been a tough season. I mean, come on, right?
I mean, I will say it's probably a very scary feeling for him as a guy who always has just had it. He's never had to work or practice in the offseason
sure.
to develop that swing or that power. So I could see where, you know, thoughts like that would creep in. Like, what if it's gone and he can never recapture what he had before? Because, I mean, I don't think it's much of a secret that he doesn't have a huge, you know, work ethic like Paul Kirko. They're not the same type of guy. So, honestly, it doesn't really surprise me too much that that's come into his head, but I don't really take that seriously. But I know that it's definitely been, obviously, a very trying time for him.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, the guy's hitting 158. I understand mm-hmm. that, you know, you've got pride. And unfortunately, his pride is low.
Well, Megan.
Sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, I was just going to say, are you happy the Cubs are kind of, they're still in town, but are you ready for the White Sox to be back in town so you can get some air conditioner in that press car?
Yes, that will be very nice. Yesterday was very warm, though. On the field, the temperature was reading 120.
Wow.
So it wasn't that bad in the press box, but yeah, I'm going to be looking forward to that AC.
renovate Wrigley, that's what we're saying, yeah. For the press.
Just for Megan. Just one.
Oh yeah, just for me. I'm sure if I complain enough, they'll accommodate me.
One little spot for Megan Montemurro. All right, Megan, thank you so much. She writes with the Northwest Herald. You can read her stuff at nwherald.com. Megan, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
All right, that is Megan Montemurro. She does a great job on our show. We'll be back. I want to talk a little bit about Adam Dunn and this quitting thing. 359-2255. If you were making a four-year, $56 million. If that was your contract, would you even contemplate quitting? I don't care how bad you are at your job. 359-2255. It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.